طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 12th session from the Arabic lessons in Hadith Al-Mustawa Thalith, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Program. Today inshallah we'll be looking at Hadith number 12, Al-Hadith al-Thani Ashara, on page 29 and 30. And also, if somebody can remind me, at the end last week, I think I forgot to read the Hadith for this week. I know the time was a little bit tight, so if somebody also can remind me, just in case I forget. Okay, so today again, we're looking at Hadith number 12. This is our 12th session. And we're on page 29. The Hadith that we have for today is entitled, Fi A'adha'i As-Sujudi. Yani concerning the A'adha, the members, the parts, or the limbs of the body that are to be yani applied in prostration. Yani what are the members of the body that are used in prostration? The hadith is an ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam umirtu an asjuda على سبعة أعظم على الجبهة وأشار بيده إلى أنفه وعلى أنفه as it came in Bukhari على واليدين والركبتين وأطرف القدمين متفق عليه. And we have made a note also that واللفظ للبخاري. And then there's some extra wording yani that we have added on the bottom of the last line on the board. Yani not extra wording, it's not in our book, but it's in Bukhari. ولا نكفت الثياب ولا الشعر. This is the wording as it came in Bukhari. Yani with these two notes, yani وأشار بيده إلى in Bukhari it came على. يعني some of the other books in the Musnad Imam Ahmed, in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, and in the Sunan of Ad-Darimi, and in the Mustakhraj of Ibn Abi Awana, and in other books, يعني the narration came as it is in our book, وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ. That's how it came in the other books. In Bukhari it came with the wording على أَنْفِهِ. So please make a note of that. I put ala in parenthesis after ila. Ila is the word that came in our book, and it did come in some of the authentic narrations with the preposition ila. In Bukhari, it came with ala, ala anfihi. Okay, again, hadith number 12, page 29, an ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, yani on the authority of Ibn Abbas, his first name is Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Qala, he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umirtu an asjuda ala sab'ati a'azumin. Yani I have been commanded, Umirtu. And in some of the authentic narrations it came, Umirna. Yani we have been commanded, which is understood anyway, yani that if the Prophet ﷺ has been commanded with something, unless there's an indication that it is exclusive to him, then it's for the ummah. But in any case, in some narrations it came clearly, umirna, we have been commanded. Here it came in the singular, I have been commanded. Yani the Prophet ﷺ saying, umirtu an asjuda, I have been commanded to prostrate. عَلَى سَبَعَةِ أَعْظُمٍ, upon seven bones. يعني أَعْظُم, يعني here, The meaning of it is أعضاء, يعني seven members or limbs. Limbs or parts of the body have been commanded to prostrate upon seven bones, meaning seven organs or seven limbs of the body. And then he explained what are those seven members. على الجبهة, يعني the forehead. And here there is a note. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explained when he said على الجبهة وأشار بيده إلى أنفه وعلى أنفه. When he said جبهة, he pointed to and passed his hand over his nose, to indicate that the nose is included in the jabha, yani the forehead, including the nose. So that's the first bone, and or the first part of the body that's from prostration, and the most important part, and the most honorable and noble part of the body, the forehead. Wal yadaini, that's the second and third members of the body, the two hands. وَالرُّكْبَتَيْنِ, and the two knees, that's the fourth and fifth members or parts of the body. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. نعم. وَأَطْرَفِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. And the extremities, يعني the ends of the 2 feet. That's the sixth and seventh member. يعني the forehead with the nose is one. The two hands, meaning the palms of the hands, are two and three. The two knees are four and five. And the extremities of the 2 feet are six and seven. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then on the last line we have, that's not in our book, وَلَا نَكْفِتَ الثِّيَابَ وَلَا شَعْرَ. وَلَا نَكْفِتَ, يعني the meaning here is لَا نَضُمَّ وَنَجْمَعَ, يعني we do not gather together or collect together, يعني the ثياب, clothing, يعني ثياب being the plural of ثوب, ولا الشعر, nor the hair, the hair on one's head, يعني that when a person is prostrating, they shouldn't hold down their hair or hold their clothing together, يعني they should let it flow naturally, the hair should be loose and the clothing should be loose to prostrate along with the seven members of the body. This sentence is not in our book, but it came in Bukhari like this. Okay? So, yani, it would be good to memorize this sentence, but if you memorize it the way it's in the book, that's our curriculum, no problem. Yani, no blame on you. But this is how it came in Bukhari. This sentence is a very important sentence. Yani, وَلَا نَكْفِتَ الثِّيَابِ, mean you do not fold or roll up or gather together the clothing, like rolling up your pants legs or holding together your long garment or something, holding it from touching the ground or the dirt or whatever you, wherever you're praying at. Yani, we don't gather together, roll up or tuck in the clothing nor the hair on your head. It should be let loose. Should not be tied down or held down. And this hadith, yani in the book it says muttafaqun alayh, and we are adding to it wal lafdhu, yani the exact expression or wording as we have it here is lil Bukhari, for Bukhari. And perhaps we could take a quick look at the wordings as it came in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim, the wording came from Ibn Abbas, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, umirtu an asjuda ala sab'ati a'dhumin. I have been commanded to prostrate on seven bones without any explanation. وَلَا أَكُفَّ ثَوْبًا وَلَا شَعْرًا, not to roll up or fold up or gather together one's garment nor one's hair. That's the wording that came in Sahih Muslim without the explanation of the seven members of the body. In another narration of Sahih Muslim, it came with explanation. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُدَ عَلَى سَبَعَةِ أَعْظُمٍ, and I have been commanded to prostrate on seven bones. Al-Jabha, here he mentions the forehead. وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى أَنْفِهِ. And again in Sahih Muslim it also came with عَلَى instead of إِلَى. وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى أَنْفِهِ. وَالْيَدَيْنِ, the two hands. وَالْرِجْلَيْنِ, وَالْرِجْلَيْنِ, Yani the legs here, point the part of the leg that is important from the other narrations means the knees, wa atrafi al qadamaini, and the extremities of the two feet, wala nakfita al thiyaba wala al sha'ra, and not to roll up or fold up or gather together the clothing or the hair. And in one more narration from Sahih Muslim, it came, umirtu an asjuda ala saba'in, without the mention of bones or members of the body. It just came, I have been commanded to prostrate on seven. Wala akfita ash-sha'ra, and not to roll up or fold up or gather together the hair. Wala thiyaba, nor the clothing. And then, yani the explanation of the seven came at the end of the hadith, al-jabahati wal-anfi, yani the forehead and the nose. He didn't point to the nose here, he said the forehead and the nose. Wal-yadain, the two hands. Wal-rukbatain, the two knees. Wal-qadamain, the two feet. These are the narrations that came in Sahih Muslim. In any case, the narration that's closest to what we have in our book is the narration of Bukhari, with the only difference being that he used the preposition ala instead of ila. That's how it came in that narration, ala instead of ila. It came in Sahih Muslim also with ala instead of ila. And at the end of the hadith, yani in Sahih Bukhari, his narration, it came wala nakfita al-thiyaba wala sha'ra, yani not to roll up or to fold up, fold over, or gather together the clothing or the hair. And as I said, the narration with ila anfihi wa ashara ila anfihi, as it is in our book, did come authentically narrated in some of the other books. It came like that in an authentic narration narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. It came in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban. It came in the Mustakhraj of Ibn Abi Awana, and it also came, yani, in the Sunan of Ad-Darimi, authentically narrated with the preposition ila in Bukhari, and Muslim, it came with the preposition ala, ala. Okay, in any case, the meaning is not really different, although the preposition ala could give a different, a slightly additional meaning, not different meaning, but additional meaning. As Sheikh Albani mentions in one of his commentaries on this hadith, he said that the preposition ala may also contain an added meaning of ashara, yani ashara wa amarra, yani that he pointed with his hand and he also passed his hand over his nose, and that's why the preposition ala, ala anfi. In any case, don't concern yourself too much with it. The point is, in Bukhari the preposition came ala, in Muslim the preposition came ala, and in some of the other books it came authentically narrated with ila. Okay, any question about the words of the hadith? Now, Musa. The forehead, al-jabha. Okay, start it here. The explanation of the seven bones is al-jabha. And then he explained, he pointed with his hand to the nose, yani meaning the nose is part of the forehead. Okay, that's one. And then the two hands, the two knees, and the extremities of the two feet. Naam, Waleed.
The last narration you mentioned,
Naam.
When it was said forehead, and it said nose separately, and then but said seven, so we could...
It said al-jabha wal-anf, Naam.
So through this hadith, another hadith, we could say that that's considered as one.
From other hadith, we know that they are considered as one.
Even though
he mentioned it with wow, but actually we know that that the nose and the forehead are one bone connected to one another, and the Prophet ﷺ clearly indicated in other narrations that they are one, not that they are two separate things. Okay. Naam.
It wouldn't be counted as eight.
Because even, yani, even in the narration of Sahih Muslim, he also mentioned, yani, in Sahih Muslim he mentioned seven also. In one place he just said sab'a, and the other place he said, yani, seven bones or parts or members of the body. So it's seven, yani, all the hadith are in agreement that they are seven. Yeah. The explanation of those seven, the wording came slightly different. Yani, the jabha being mentioned as one, and then he pointed to the nose to mean that it is included with it. Yeah. And in other narrations, as you mentioned, Sahih Muslim, he said, yani al-jabha wal anf, yani as though there are two things, in reality they are one. Naam.
The other four is
The other four are the two knees, yeah, and the two feet, the extremities of the feet, yani the tips of the toes. Okay, because the prostration is not on the foot itself, it's actually on the tips, the toes themselves. Okay, the toes should be bent, the feet propped up, and the toes should be bent towards the Qibla. And I wish that I could demonstrate it for everyone to see, but not everyone will see my demonstration, but in any case, in prostration, the feet both should be propped up, and the toes should be bent so that they're pointing forward, not laying flat on the ground, right? They should be pointing forward towards the Qibla. And the hands also should be flat, the palms of the hands should be on the ground, with the fingers together, stretched out, pointing towards the Qibla, in line with the shoulders, or in line with the ears. So that a person should make sure that their forehead and their nose touch the ground, the palms of their hand are flat, the rest of their arms are up and away from the ground and away from their body. The knees, yani, are down, the extremities of the feet are, yani, the toes are bent forward, and the heels are together. The feet should not be separated, the heels are together. And what I'm saying here, and all of this explanation obviously didn't come in our hadith, but it came in other narrations. The full explanation of the yani, description of prostration, if you want to go back for a good explanation of it, with all the references, the hadith, and the sources of them, you can go back to Sifat Salat al-Nabi, yani, the description of the prayer of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, written by Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, the chapter on prostration, where he explains in detail. If we have a chance, I'll read a little bit from it. But it's extensive, it's like 13 or 14 pages that he mentioned about prostration, so we're not going to be able to read through it completely, but some of it, inshallah, hopefully we can maybe look at. Okay, any other question about the wording of the hadith? No.
Yes, salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam. In the book, the word at-tarafin came with alif, at-tarafin.
Oh, with alif. Jazakallah khair. Now, you mean in the word itself? I thought you were saying, okay. It's elongation. Now, Jazakallah khair. MashaAllah. Atraf.
Absolutely, the plural for Islam.
Huh? Azam is the plural of Azam. Azam. We're going to come to it in the explanation here. The first word in the words, we're going to see Al-Azmu. Yani is the singular. Al-A'azam. A'azam is the plural. Okay, any other question about the words here in the hadith? The meaning of the words or anything that's not clear grammatically? Ashara. Ashara means to point. To point to something. Ashara. Yushiru. Isharatan. Ashara, he pointed. Yushiru, he is pointing. Yushiru, ishara. Ism ishara. Naam. The noun that's used for pointing to something. Demonstrative pronoun. Naam. Jayid. Ahsant. Very good. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on a little bit and look at the ma'ani al-kalimat. Yani, the meaning of the words. Naam, you have a question?
Now over there,
is it
the
Kipu
Ila or Ala?
Right here?
Yes.
Okay. This explanation of the Jabha, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yani pointed with his hand to his nose. Wa ashara biyadihi, in our book, Ila anfihi. But in Bukhari, the wording came Ala anfihi. Ala, instead of Ila. In any case, as you like, whatever you're comfortable with, the meaning is not really different. It came authentically narrated, as I said, with ila also. But in Bukhari and Muslim, it came ala. It came in Bukhari and Muslim with the preposition ala. In the Musnad, in Ibn Hibban and others, it came ila. Naam. Naam. We are adding love the Bukhari because that's the actual closest narration that came to what we have in the book is what Bukhari narrated. Except that Bukhari used the preposition ala. So of course it's better. I'm putting it there so that you have an option, but it's better to memorize it with ala because that's how it came in Bukhari. That's how it came in Muslim. But if you narrate it with ila, it came authentically narrated and the meaning is not actually different. Except that ala may have an added extra meaning that's not in ila. It may have an extra meaning. Extra, but it's not different. There's no contradiction in the meaning. Okay, looking at the meaning of the words, we're still on page 29. the word al-azmu, yani ayn va mim, al-azmu. It means the bone, a bone. Al-azmu is bone. The meaning of it, it says ma'ruf, it is well known. Yani it might not be well known to us, right? In Arabic language, yani it's well known to them. What is al-azmu? It means a bone. The plural of al-azmu is a'azumun, a'azum, a'azum. And this is the jam al-qilla. Jam al-qilla means the plural for a small number of things. Qilla is from the word qaleel. Kathra from the word kathir. Okay, so jam al-qilla, it means the plural that's used for a small number, like from 3 to 10. Wa'idhamun is also a plural for azmu, but this one is jam'u al-kathra. Jam'u al-kathra. Jam al-kathra is the plural that's used for a large number of things. For a large number of things. That's different. Yeah, that's another one altogether. Here we're just talking about, yani sometimes a word has more than one plural. It may have a plural when you're only talking about two or three things, and it may have another plural when you're talking about a larger number of things. Okay? So both of these are plurals for azmu. A'azum, as it came in this hadith, is the jam qilla for a small number of things. Okay? And here we know that that number in this hadith is 7. That's the qilla is from 3 to 10. So it came here. And then they just keep telling us that maybe you might see someplace izam. That's also a plural of azmu, but it's the jam al kathra.
In the Quran, it's used.
So other words,
nah.
Kathra. Okay, now, could that mean more than 10? Like,
usually it's used for more than 10. Right. If it's less than 10, right. 3 to 10, then they usually use the jam al qilla. Mm-hmm. And if it's talking about a lot of something, then they use jam al kathra. Okay. Also, the word a'azam in this hadith, its meaning is a'aba. Yani, the meaning of it is a'aba. And this is the plural of a'aba, is the plural of adwun, which means a limb, L-I-M-B, a limb or a member, yani, or a part of the body. Udwun, not adwun, should be udwun. Udwun is the singular, a'adha'u is the plural, and that's the meaning of a'adham here. It doesn't necessarily mean 7 bones, but 7 parts, or 7 limbs, or 7 members of the body. Okay, the next word is al-jabha, which means the forehead. Al-jabhatu means the forehead, yani this part, the top part of your face above the nose is the forehead. Again, the meaning they said it is ma'arufa, it is well known. Wa jam'uha, its plural is jibahun. Its plural is jibahun. Yani like jibalun. The next word, al yadani. Al murad bihima huna al kaffani. Yani what is intended by the two of them, al-yadan, what is intended by that? In the hadith it came, wal-yadain. Wal-yadain, because of being majroor, if it's marfu and you say al-yadan, mansub or majroor, yadain. So here, the word yadan, or in the hadith yadain, what is intended by the two hands is al-kaffan or al-kaffain. We mean by that, the palms of the hands. Okay? Yani prostrating on the two hands mean on the palms of the hands, and we mean exclusively the palms and not beyond that. Yani nobody should prostrate with anything beyond the palm of their hand touching the ground. Yani any part of their wrist or forearm touching the ground is prohibited, as we'll see if we have time in some of the other narrations of the hadith. Yani only the palm, yeah, this prostration, like the prostration of a dog or animal, this is prohibited. Rather, the palms are what intended by the hands. We mean the palms of the hands, with the fingers outstretched and the fingers together, not separated open. They should be together, stretched out, pointing towards the Qibla. Okay, after this, they said, wal mufrad, yani the singular of, yani kaffan, is kaffun. Yani what is intended by yadan is al-kaffan. And the singular of kaffan is kaffun. And the plural of kaffun is kufufun or akuffu. Kufufun, kufufun, or akuffu. Akuffu. These are the two plurals for kaff. The shadda is on the fa. Akuff. Yani shadda on the fa. Kuffun. Okay, so the point here is yadan. In the hadith it came yadain. The meaning of it is kaffan or kaffain, the palms of the hands. The next word, al-anfu. Also they said it is ma'ruf, yani the nose. Wajam'uhu unufun. The jam, the plural of anf is unufun. The next word, ar-ruqbatu, means the knee. Ar-ruqbatu. With ta marbuto on the end. Also, it is well known. It means the knee, right? And jam'uha rukabun. Rukabun. Yani with dhamma and fatta. Rukabun. Rukabun. The next word is tarafu ashayi. This expression, tarafu ashayi, means muntahahu. Tarafu ashayi means its end. The extreme, the extremity of something, the end of it, the tip of it, the edge of it. Tarafu shay means muntahahu. And the plural of taraf is atrafun. Atrafun with ta. Atrafun. And here, this came in the hadith under what? Wa atrafi al-qadamain. The end or the extremities of the 2 feet, meaning the toes. The toes, na'am. Muntaha means the end of something.
The end,
the edge of it, the extreme end of it. Yani, just be you at the finish of it, where it ends at. Yani, intaha means, yani you say, intaha al-amra, the affair has finished. Intaha al-dars, the lesson has finished. Intaha, muntaha, the end of something. Now. Taib, okay. Okay, the last expression here under the meaning of the words, ashara, ila shay'i, ashara ila shay'i, means to point to something. He pointed to something. Ashara. The mudari, present tense form of ashara, is yushiru. He is pointing. The amr, the command form imperative, is ashir. Ashir. And the masdar, the infinitive, is isharatun. Isharatun. Naam, like from the expression in grammar, yani ismu al-ishara, the demonstrative pronoun. Naam, Mustafa.
From the hadith, it said, so there is a dhamma on the rukbatain, it should be, it's a mistake, it should be sukun.
Yeah.
There is a mistake on the book.
In the text of the hadith or in?
In the text, yeah.
In the text of the hadith.
Oh
yeah, okay, thank you. Now, in the text of the hadith, in the beginning, right, in the beginning of this lesson, on the second line, next to the last word, where it says, وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالرُّكْبَتَيْنِ وَأَطْرَفِي الْقَدَمَيْنِ. The next to the last word, in the second line of the text of the hadith, it should say, رُكْبَتَيْنِ instead of Rukub, yani there's a dhamma on the calf in rukbatain. There's a dhamma, it should be a sukoon. The dhamma on ar-rukbatain in the hadith should be a sukoon. And if you were reading the second line of the hadith, after the first line, umirtu an, the second line begins, asjuda ala sab'ati a'azumin ala al-jabhati wa ashara biyadihi ila anfihi. وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالرُّكْبَتَيْنِ. Yani here, الرُّكْبَتَيْنِ should have sukoon on the calf. The second letter, ra, calf, should have sukoon instead of dhamma. الرُّكْبَتَيْنِ وَأَطْرَفُ الْقَدَمَيْنِ. جزاك الله خير. Pointing that out. Oh.
رُكْ,
yani with sukoon, رُكْبَتَيْنِ. So you have a question, brother? Al-Jabha. Right. Maybe they mean something different. Yani, there's another word that is similar, that without tarmabuta. Naam. It means like a front, like in the battlefield. Naam. Okay. After these explanation of the meaning of the words, naam. In the explanations of the words, right? Next to the last expression, it says tarafu ash-shay. Tarafu ash-shay. The meaning of tarafu ash-shay, it is muntaha hu. The damir on the end is not part of the word, right? The word is muntaha. Okay, taraf ash-shay, it means muntahahu, the end of it. Muntaha means the end, hu it, the end of it. So the taraf of something is the end of it, the muntaha of it. The taraf of something means the end of it. Naam. Like the end of your foot, yani, the end of your foot in the front is your toes. That's the end. So this is what we mean by taraf. Al-Qadamain means the toes. Naam.
Could it be used as, because in general, like the way I know it, it's used as edge.
The edge. It can mean the edge. The tip, the edge. So, naam.
While Muntaha means end in general, like you can use in others, like something expired.
Naam.
But Farf you can't say in that sense, correct?
No. But they're just trying to give you the general idea of what is intended here.
Yeah.
Yani the meaning that's intended here is the edge. The end, the tip of something, the toes in this particular case. Okay, after this, idahat nahwiya, idahatun nahwiyatun, yani some grammatical discussion, clarification, of the use of the plural, the use of the plural. In this hadith, we had the plural word a'azum. So they said, jam'u al-qillati, مدلوله من ثلاثة إلى عشرة وله أربعة أبنية. يعني the جمع قلة, the plural that's used for small number things, the thing that it is used to point to is from 3 to 10. من ثلاثة إلى عشرة وله أربعة, and it has 4 أبنية, يعني 4 forms or structures. Yani abniya is the plural of bina, yani the structure or the yani construction of something. So it has 4 constructions or yani 4 forms, 4 yani patterns that came for this jam al-qilla. Yani so the plural that indicates a small number of things came with 4 different forms in Arabic language. The first of them is as it came in this hadith for a'azum. It is af'u, af'ulun, af'ulun. For example, ashhurun, the plural of shahr, means months, right? And likewise, the plural of harf, a letter, its plural on this pattern is? Ahruf, on the pattern of af'ul, the pattern of af'ulun, ahrufun, and so on, like this, okay? The second pattern is af'alun, with elongation of the fatah on the ayn. Af'alun, for example, the plural of saif, asyafun, swords. The plural of shay'un, ashya'un. Naam. The plural of hukmun, ahkamun. Naam. And like this, okay? Awlad, aklam, azwaj, all these are on the pattern of af'al. The third pattern is af'ilatun, with ta marbuta on n. Af'ilatun, for example, arghifatun. Arghifatun is the plural of raghif. Raghif is something that, huh?
A loaf
of bread, like something that you eat. Loaf of bread, something like this. And so on this pattern of af'ila is the plural of su'al, which is as'ilatun, and jawab, Ajwibatun and Mithal Amthilatun. The fourth and last pattern is Fi'latun. Fi'latun with sukun on the ayn. Fi'latun like Fityatun. Fityatun. Fityatun is the plural of Fata, which means a young man, a youth, young person. And also on this pattern of Fi'latun is the plural of Akh, which is Ikhwatun. And the plural of Ali, Ilyatun. And the plural of Sabi, Subyatun. Naam. And the plural of Jalil, Jil, with Shadda on the lamb, right? The first lamb is Sukun for the pattern, but it's going to be written with Shadda, right? Naam. Jillatun. Jillatun. Okay, these are the patterns for the plural when it has, when it's indicating a small number from 3 to 10. As far as what is derived from this hadith, it says, مَا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ أَحْكَامِ. Naam.
Ashhur here is indicating numbers from 3 to 10, right?
Generally speaking, this is the pattern for 3 to 10. Naam.
Ashhur, is it not 12 months?
Naam. But how it came in the Quran, and it came different uses in the Quran, but sometime it came, yani with this meaning Ashhur al-Haram. Ashhur al-Haram means, yani the months, the sacred months, which are four. Naam. Anyway, these are general patterns generally used for the small number of plural. The plural that indicate is indicating a smaller number from 3 to 10. Now.
So you're saying the four forms is basically the hand, the two knees, the feet, and the forehead. These are the four forms of Arba that we are, that we, you're saying the four forms, right?
No, no. The four forms we're talking about here are four forms of plurals,
okay.
Plural forms. We're talking about plural forms. Okay, the plural that's in, used to indicate a smaller number of things. These are the patterns that are used for those kind of plurals, generally speaking. Okay. Before we go to the questions, there's one point. ما يستفاد من الحديث من أحكام. يعني what may be benefited from the hadith in terms of legal rulings, أحكام. It says, وجوب السجود على سبعة أعظم. يعني, what we derive from this hadith, what's obvious and clear, is the obligation of prostrating upon seven bones, or seven limbs, or members of the body. وهي, and they are, الجبهة ومعها الأنف. يعني, the forehead, along with it is the nose. That counts as one. And by the way, the prostration on the forehead along with the nose is considered to be wajib according to Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Al-Thawri, rahimahullah. And there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning not what is legislated to prostrate upon, but what is obligatory from them and what is sunnah from them. But according to these imams, Imam Malik and Awza'i and Thawri, yani it's obligatory to prostrate upon the forehead along with the nose, including the nose. And in the Hanafi madhab, there's some various sayings that's a little different from this, but this is what is well known from most of the scholars. Now,
from the scholars that say it's an obligation, what do they say for the person who doesn't do it and they know? Like, if you do follow that opinion, for example, and then you happen not to put the nose...
Yeah. then what is apparent is that the prayer would be invalid.
So if they remember that, they would like repeat that.
Let's ajr are invalid.
We're going to come to it, inshallah. We're going to come to it, okay? Because there are some other narrations that clarify this point. Yani perhaps it will answer the question more clearly than us having a fiqh discussion. Because really, there's a lot of discussion concerning this particular issue. And we don't want to spend a lot of time with it because it will require a session just in itself. In any case, yani, if it's obligatory, then a person cannot intentionally, knowingly, willingly abandon it. And a person should know this is obligatory, I have to pay attention to this. And when we prostrate, we have to pay attention, making sure that the nose is touching the ground. People are careless in this affair, and this is a dangerous matter. This is a dangerous matter. In any case, he said, yani that from this hadith we understand it's obligatory to prostrate on seven bones, and they are the forehead along with the nose, the kafan, the palms, the two palms of the hands الركبتان, the two knees, وأطرف القدمين, and the extremities of the two feet, that is the toes. And also, يعني some of the scholars mentioned concerning this hadith is that the nose is considered as part of the jabha. And it is, يعني, the completion of the prostration. It is required that the nose also touch the ground, and for this reason, it is not sufficient that one prostrate without the nose touching the ground. It is not sufficient. Okay, I'd rather go to the questions now, and then if we have time, we'll go to the fiqh of the hadith, yani some discussion. But let's look at the questions first to make sure that we finish the questions for this particular lesson. The first question being, ما الأعظم؟ ما العظم السبعة التي يجب السجود عليها؟ يعني what are the seven bones which are obligatory to prostrate upon them, Musa?
I read it at home.
Go ahead. As you like, whatever. Doesn't matter. Naam.
العظم السبعة التي يجب السجود عليها هي الجبهة.
الجبهة 1.
نعم. معها الأنف.
معها الأنف. Okay, that's 1.
والكفان.
كفان, that's 3.
وركبتان.
وركبكان, that's 5.
وأطراف القدمين.
And the extremities of the feet, that's 7. طيب. That was question number 1. 7 parts that are obligatory to prostrate upon. Question number 2. ما المراد باليدين في الحديث? What is intended? وعليكم السلام. What is intended by the expression اليدين in this hadith, Mustafa?
الكفين.
يعني المراد باليدين يعني الكفان, the palms of the hands. الكفان. يعني كفان is the dual of كفن. Question number 3. هاتي جمع الكلمات الآتية. Give the plural of the following words. عظمٌ. Anybody? أعظم. أعظم أن العظام. أنفٌ. أنوفٌ. يعني أنفٌ means what? The nose. نعم. ركبةٌ. The plural. Rukab. Rukab. The plural is rukab, like guraf. Rukba means the knee. Taraf, the plural of taraf. Atraf. Taraf means what? The edge. The end, the extremity of something. Naam. Kaffun. Kufufun and? Kufufun and a? Kufu. What is the meaning of kaf? The palm. Number 4, hati mudari wal amr wal masdar. 3 things. The mudari, the present tense. The amr, the imperative command form. And the masdar, the infinitive form from the following 3 verbs. Okay.
What's the second plural for?
Akuffu. With shadda on the fa. Akuffu. Akuffu. Yani fatta on the hamza. Dhamma on the calf, shadda on the fa, a kuffun. And kufufun, dhamma, wow, naam. Okay, 3, each of these verbs we want, they give us the past tense, we want the present tense, command form, and the infinitive form. Okay, ashara, naam.
Yushiru.
Ashir. 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 The command form is ashir, naam. An isharatun. Naam. The next one, amara. Ya'muru. Command form. Mur. Like akala ya'kulu kul. Naam. Mur. And the masdar. The masdar. The singular of umur is what? Amrun. Amrun, with sukun on the name. Amrun. Okay. Sajada. Yasjudu. Usjud. Yani whenever the vowel has dhamma in the middle, dakhala yadkhulu udkhul. خرج يخرج أخرج سجد يسجد أسجد أسجد. نعم. And the masdar
سجود
سجود. Okay, this is the end of the questions. Let's look at the fiqh a little bit. A couple of points, right? There's no more questions, right? Oh, there's one more question? Oh, okay. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm racing, right? Question number 5. Hati abniyata jam al qilla ma al amthila. Yani, what are the forms? Yani, the patterns for the jam al qilla. Yani, for the plural used for a small number of things from 3 to 10 with examples. Okay, the first pattern is what? Af'ul. Af'ul, and an example of it? Ashhur, and also? Harf? Ahruf. Ahruf. Another plural is haruf, right? But we want this pattern? Ahruf. Okay, the second pattern? Af'al. And an example of it? Asyaf. Ashya. Anything else? Ahkam. Ahkam. Asnan. Teeth. Sin, right? Aqlam. Naam. The third pattern? Af'ilatun. Af'ilatun. An example of it? Arghifa. Amthila. As'ila. Jawab. Ajwiba. Okay, the last pattern is fi'latun. Fi'latun with sukun on the ayn. Fi'latun, example of it. Fityatun. Fidya is singular. That's the pattern, but it's singular though. Jillatun. What about Ali? Ilyatun. And Sabi, a child. Sibyatun. Fight. Aliyun. Yani, like the name Ali, it means high. One who is high, the plural is Aliya. Jalil. No, Jalil means something noble, lofty. Jalil. Yani, one of the names of Allah, Jalil. Naam. Okay, after this, just quickly, we want to look at the fiqh a little bit. Alright, so I want to just mention a couple of points here from Taysir al-Alam, yani one of my favorite books of hadith, yani the explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam. Umdat al-Ahkam is a very important book, and that it is a collection of the hadith that are agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Or that is from Bukhari or Muslim, but most of them are agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Yani all the hadith, yani if a person wants to read fiqh, and they want to know yani authentic hadith for any point, then Umdat al-Ahkam is an excellent book to go to. This is the explanation of Umda, yani Taysir by Sheikh Abdullah.
How big is it?
Ali Bassam. Yani it's 2 volumes, maybe 500 pages each. It's not too big. In any case, look. Let's not get stuck there, huh? The Tarjama? Taysir al-Alam? No, it's not in translation, no. No, it's not in translation. I mean, there are some parts of it translated, inshallah, but not much. Okay, so here he mentions this hadith. He said, from the meaning of this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to prostrate to him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on 7 members of the body. وَهِيَ أَشْرَفُ أَعْضَى الْبَدَنِ وَأَفْضَلُهَا. This is the point. The Shaykh is saying, Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, he's saying, and these 7 members of the body are the most noble of all parts of the body and the best of them. And then he mentions what they are, the first of them being the forehead along with the nose, the second and third of them being the 2 hands. And he said that these 2 hands, يُبَاشِرُوا الْأَرْضِ مِنْهُمَا بُطُونِ مِنْهُمَا بُطُونُهُمَا. Yani that the 2 hands, what should touch the ground from the 2 hands are the palms, the inside of the hands, the palms of the 2 hands. The 4th and 5th, he said, are the knees. The 6th and 7th are the extremities of the feet. And he said they should be مُوَجِّهًا أَصَابِعْهُمَا نَحْوَ الْقِبْلَةِ. Yani that the toes of the feet should be pointed toward the Qibla. That means that when you're prostrating, You should not be prostrating with your feet flat on the upper part of the feet. Rather, the toes should be bent forward so that they're pointing towards the Qibla. And then the Shaykh, he says, they should be pointing for the Qibla. And he also said that the command to the Prophet ﷺ to prostrate on these seven members, it is also a command for his ummah, because this is a general legislation. Meaning what? If it's not something that can be proven to be exclusive to the Prophet, khasa'is al-Nabi, then it's general for the ummah. So that means that the command for him to prostrate like that is a command for us to prostrate like that. And I also mentioned in the beginning that there's also a narration, Shaykh al-Albani mentions it in Sifat al-Salat, that it is also reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, Umirna, instead of Umirtu. It's also narrated that he said, Umirna, we have been commanded, meaning all of the Muslims. Then the Shaykh says, Ikhtilaf of the ulama concerning this hadith, the scholars, Ajma al-ulama ala mashru'iyati as-sujood ala hadhi al-a'adha as-sab'a. Pay attention. وَاخْتَلَفَ فِي الْوَاجِبْ مِنْهَا. Yani the scholars have ijma, consensus, that these parts of the body are legislated to be prostrated upon. That this is what Allah has legislated. However, what they differ about is which of them are obligatory and which of them are, yani, sunnah, mustahab. They differed concerning this. Shaykh, he says, and what the authentic hadith indicates to us is that the prostration that is obligatory is upon all seven of them. And this is what is well known from the madhab of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, ta'ala. Some other scholars held that what is obligatory is merely the forehead, and the rest of the members of the prostration are mustahab. That's an opinion. And the Shaykh says, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, holds the view that if the nose is touched on the ground, this is sufficient for the forehead. And what is correct is the first opinion, that is, that what is obligatory is all seven members of the body. This is a long, thick discussion. We don't have time for it today.
I didn't get something in what you said. Is it, some scholars said that only the forehead is mandatory and the rest, you mean the...
are mustahab. Yani the rest, meaning the other members of the body, are mustahab. Yani because the prostration, what is intended from the prostration is what?
Forehead.
The forehead is what is intended. So from that they said, the rest of them are just mustahab. Yani you need them in order to prostrate, right? But what is intended is really the forehead. Yani prostration means you put your forehead on the ground. Not that you put your feet on the ground. That doesn't mean anything, right? Everybody's walking around with their feet on the ground. But who's putting their forehead on the ground? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point is to put your forehead. That's the point. I mean, that's a view. That's some of... we don't have time to discuss the background of their view, but that's what they said.
But it looks like there are three groups. One group saying that only the forehead is mandatory and the rest are...
No, there are not two groups. There are many opinions. I don't want to go into all those opinions.
According to what you say, I see three. And the other group saying that the forehead is mandatory, the nose is mustahab, and the other also are mandatory. And the other group saying that all of them,
Yeah, we only have 3 minutes. Okay, what is important here, like whoever wants to research this issue, then you can go to the books of fiqh and read about it. If you go to Taysir al-Alam, that I'm reading from now, you'll find some of that discussion. If you go to explanations of hadith, like the explanation of Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, and explanation of Mishkat al-Musabi, books like this, you will find the discussion concerning this, more or less with more detail in some books than others. But the bottom line, the point is, we have been commanded to prostrate on these seven bones. Yani, the strongest opinion, wallahu a'lam, is that all of them are obligatory. Okay, from this hadith, the Shaykh said, what we understand from this hadith, yani, is that it's obligatory to prostrate on these seven members of the body, jami'uha, all of them. And this is the madhab of Imam Ahmed, wal wajib ma'akhudh min al-amra. And why do we say that is obligatory? Yani, what is the basis for this? Yani understanding that it's obligatory to prostrate upon all of them, it is ma'akhudh min al-amra. Yani it's ma'akhudh what? From the command. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, umirtu wal-amra yattadi al-wujub. And a command indicates that something is obligatory. The Shaykh goes on to say, and in this prostration on these seven bones, there's number one, ada' li-wajib as-sujood. A person is fulfilling the obligation of prostration. And in addition to that, there's ta'zim lillahi ta'ala, there's also the exaltation and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by placing your forehead on the ground in front of Allah, and there's also izhar lidhil wal maskana bayna yadayhi, and there's also the showing, yani a person, yani displaying their humility and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh mentions three things here, three benefits. The first is that in prostrating on these seven bones, there's the fulfillment of the obligation to do so. And secondly, there's ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying, exalting Allah. And thirdly, there's a show from the individual of submission and humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of prostration. A couple of other points that I want to mention just quickly, and there's a lot of points here. Yani, if you look at this, you'll see that I have printed it very small to try to cover a lot of points. Jazakallah khair. We're going to take a couple of minutes from this time just quickly to mention some narrations of hadith. And of course, yani I can't mention the whole discussions that are brought here, but there are a lot of points mentioned here. From amongst them are the mention of some hadith related to prostration. The first hadith that's mentioned here, which is muttafaqun alayh, la salata liman la yusibu anfuhu min al-ard ma yusibu al-jabin. Yani, hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is in reference to your question you asked earlier about, yani the nose. He said that, la salata liman la yusibu anfuhu min al-ard ma yusibu al-jabin. Yani, there's no salat for the one whose nose doesn't get a portion of the earth as the forehead does, as the, yani, this part of the head does. Yani, if the nose doesn't get a portion, the same as the top part of the head does, there's no salat for this person. Second hadith. Hadith of Anas, muttafaqun alayh also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, i'tadilu fi sujood. Yani, i'tadilu fi sujood means, yani, istiwa, yani to be even, to be balanced, not when you prostrate to be balled up, nor to be stretched out like you're laying down flat on the ground, but balance in the prostration. Yani a person should be in between balling themselves up in prostration and stretching themselves out so far that they're almost laying down flat on the ground. This is the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'tadilu fi sujood wa la yabsutu ahadukum dhira'ayhi inbisat al-qalb." And no one of you should stretch out his arms, yani his forearms, the way the dog does. Meaning, don't put your arms on the ground in prostration. Rather, only the palms of the hands should be touching the ground. The arms should be raised up from the ground and from the body. Third hadith, hadith of Al-Bara radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, إِذَا سَجَدْتَ فَضَعَ كَفَّيْكَ وَرْفَى مِرْفَقِيكَ. Yani, if you prostrate, then put your palms, kaffayka, on the ground. Warfa mirfaqayka. And raise up your, yani, elbows. Raise up your elbows. Yani, from the ground and from your body. They should be separated. The last hadith. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yani, which is reported in the Sahih Ibn Hibban. Hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And this is a famous hadith, yani very important hadith. إِنَّ أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدْ فَأَكْثِرُ يعني الدُّعَى. Yani the nearest that a person, an abd, will be to their Rabb is when they are in prostration. فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى. So increase your supplication, yani in prostration. This is yani what we have the ability to mention from these many, many points. And now I want to just read the hadith for next week so that we don't forget, yes, like we did last time. The meaning of what? The last line that's on the board that's not in our book. وَلَا نَكْفِتَ الثِّيَابَ وَلَا الشَّعْرَ وَلَا نَكْفِتَ لَا نَضُمَّ. Yani, do not gather together, roll up or fold over. Yani, like rolling up your pants, for example. Yani, so that your pants are not hanging below your ankle, don't roll them up. Don't roll them up. That's prohibited. Yani, what you're supposed to do is cut them so that they're above the ankle, not roll them up. The Prophet prohibited. وَلَا نَكْفِتَ. Don't, لَا نَضُمَّ الثِّيَابُ وَلَا شَعْرُ, means don't roll it up. Don't fold it. Don't tie it. Don't يعني نعم just let it be loose. That's the hadith in Bukhari came like this. It came in other books also, but that's how it came in our narration in Bukhari. That's from our book, except the book left out the last line. Because it's not related to prostration. It's not related to prostration. But that's how it came in the hadith, yani with this wording. Okay? As far as next week's hadith, hadith number 13, al-hadith al-thalitha ashara, on page 31, fi fadli salat al-jama'ah, concerning the superiority or the virtue and excellence of the prayer and congregation, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Salatul Jama'ati afdalu min Salatil Fadhi wa Shadda bi Saba'in wa Ishreena darajatan muttafaqun alayhi. Again, the hadith on Abdullah with Kasra, Abdullah ibn with Kasra, Umar with Fatah. عن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما on the authority of عبد الله ابن عمر may Allah be pleased with both of them يعني عبد الله and his father عمر أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said صلاة الجماعة this is مضاف مضاف إليه صلاة الجماعة مضاف إليه مجرور يعني the prayer in congregation is أفضل يعني better more preferable, superior to يعني من صلاة الفذ. It is superior and better than صلاة الفذ, يعني the prayer of one who prays alone. What is its superiority? يعني بسبع وعشرين درجة, by 27 degrees. And it is superior by 27 degrees. يعني meaning that if a person prays in jama'ah, the prayer that they pray in jama'ah is 27 times or 27 degrees better than the prayer that they pray when they pray alone. Yani at home or someplace, yani when they didn't go to the jama'ah. Okay, we're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Please be consistent in your memorization. Yani please be consistent in your memorization. And write the hadith. Practice writing the hadith. I have some hadith that you gave me last week to give back. Please take them before you leave. The previous hadith.